Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Is your heart primed, ready?
Yes.
Is your mind open?
Yes.
Praise God, then He's going to show us some things. So what we're going to talk about today is prompted to me by these Being Made Whole classes that I'm teaching. We're going to be doing it for 8 weeks. We did our first one last Wednesday evening, and we're going to go for 7 Wednesdays more. And we're going to be going through the Being Made Whole classes. Well, also, we're talking about authority right now, aren't we, as a church? And so I thought I would put authority and the being made whole together in this one service. Amen? So I can show you this authority that God has given you in order to be made whole, in order to walk it out. So today, the message title is going to be Entering Into Your Promised Land. And what I mean by your promised land is your promised land may not be my promised land. The things that you're believing God for may not be what I'm believing God for. The life that you want to live while you're on the earth may not be the life that I want to live while I'm living on the earth. So what is the life that you want to live on the earth? What is your promised land? The Bible talks in Numbers and Numbers 13 about it flowing with milk and honey. That's fine. I can't really relate to that, though. I have plenty of milk and plenty of honey. Amen. Do y'all have plenty of milk and honey? Not everyone does, but praise the Lord. Also, to live in houses that other people build. I didn't build my house. Somebody else built the house I live in. Amen. So I'm kind of thinking, what is my promised land? What is the life that God has promised to me? And am I actually experiencing that life, living in it now? So as I talk about this, you can just kind of put yourself into this picture. So I also want to reconcile something else. You know, we talk about that I am as He is in this world. In the Bible, that I'm just like Jesus, that everything Jesus is, I am. We say that in here. But how many of you have lived a life that that's not the experience that you've had? See, I want to reconcile something here through the Old Testament and in the New. We have a flesh body. The flesh body is not going to heaven. Unless, of course, you are alive when Jesus comes again, and then it's transformed, and your corrupted body is transformed into His incorrupted body. Or what's going to happen to a lot of us, a lot of you all, I want to make that clear, that you're going to die, and then your spirit is going to go to be with the Lord. Are you with me on that? That's pretty normal. That's what we normally see in people. So that puts you into the kingdom of God in heaven. But now the day of you getting born again, which is, say, today, that's an instant deal. Boom. You get born again. You are transformed instantly. Your spirit is brought to life. And you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You guys know the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Right? So what passed away? My body didn't pass away. The old man, she says. But what is the old man? We're going to talk about that. What is the new man? We're going to talk about that. And how do you reconcile this? You know, many of you girls have come through recovering addiction. Many of us have had to come through recovering addictions. And we have a really hard time as a person that's been in addictions or some kind of fleshly consumption that we can really say, as Jesus is, so am I. Because that's not the life that I experience. Any of you can relate to that? So you kind of have to reconcile, how is this possible that God says that I'm truly righteous and holy? God says, as He is, so am I in this world. Jesus says that everything that I can do, you can do also. And we even tag on, and greater than the things than these. Well, half of us aren't even, a third of us aren't even doing the things that he did. Amen? So how do we reconcile all of this together? How do we really place ourselves in the correct spot that I can live in my promised land? How can I live the life that God promised me and walk it out? Would you like to know? Yes. Let's talk about it, shall we? So let's take the Old Testament for an example and go to Numbers 13. And I want to look at Numbers 13 and 14, and we'll just use this as our carnal example for what we get to walk out now in our life. They are an example to us so that we can learn by their mistakes. Isn't that nice that God had people go before us that we can learn by their mistakes? 10 times they tested God in the wilderness, and 10 times he proved himself faithful to them. And it really started bugging him. Because how much is it going to take for us and them to believe that God is good and that he really wants good for us? Amen. We can say that, but is that the life that I'm walking out right now? Does my life show the real goodness of God? Because he's promised it to us. He's promised it to us. So if we look here in Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to just go with verse 27 where I talked about flowing with milk and honey so that you can see it. It says in Numbers 13, 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And they held up a rod with a bunch of grapes on it that was so big, they were riding their horses, and 2 guys had this broomstick, and the grapes were hanging over it and dragging on the ground. Not these little tiny grapes that we get. Well, we get big grapes now compared to the old times. Their grapes were cantaloupe grapes, really big. And that's an entire way that whole land was. It flourished so much, we don't even have that kind of flourishing anymore. It was so huge. We see strange little documentations where in Alaska or something, somebody will grow a pumpkin as big as a car, you know, or a cucumber as big as a kayak. You know, once in a while we'll see it, but that's not normal. That's not what you and I get at the grocery store, is it? So that's what they had. But let me tell you, what each one of us is going to have to reconcile in our heart as we hear this message is, am I willing to really live in my promised land? Am I really willing to live in my promised land? Or am I going to let what's going on inside of me dictate how much I'm going to believe God? It's to each one of us individually. It has nothing to do with the person on the left or the right, in front or behind you. Each one of us get to reconcile this. So go with me down. So let me just quickly talk about this. So what happened was God said he gave them this promised land. He promised it to them. It's theirs. He says, I have given this land to you. But as you guys know, what's in that land? Oh, everybody knows that part. All right. That's right. There's houses. There's vineyards. There's aqueducts. There's everything they need. There's fertile soil. It's beautiful. And God gave it to them. Guess what? There was somebody else living there, though. There was somebody else that was occupying their new property. In the spiritual realm, it's no different. You've been promised a lot of things by God. But are you willing to go after the giants that are standing between you and that promised victory? We get to look at that. So he said to them in verse 32, or rather they said, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report. So the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature, giants. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So they were freaking out. So jump over with me to 14:11. I'm going to get to that. So what happened was Caleb jumped up and said, "No! Piece of cake for us. We can take them. God's with us. We can get this done, and we can go out right now, and we can have this land. It's ours." And God loved Caleb's go-for-it attitude, courageous and strong and determined that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. But everybody else, their strength failed them because they were looking in the natural instead of believing God. And look at what God said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I had performed among them?" So God 10 times proved himself in the wilderness. But they, seeing themselves as grasshoppers and not able to get the victory, God took it personally that they were rejecting him. Think about this, you guys. We don't really relate to the fact that we think, "I'm on my own. I got to handle this. I've got this addiction and I can't overcome it. I've got this poverty issue and I can't overcome it. I got these relationship problems and I don't think they're ever going to work out. I got these family dynamics and they're horrific. I've got these issues with my cars. They break down on me all the time. However it is, I don't know where I'm going to live next month or what I'm going to do for work." We get all these problems and we think it's on us to solve them. And we get overwhelmed. Yes or no? But God says this, "How long will you reject me?" He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never does. But sometimes we leave him. Sometimes we are only looking at the giants in the land and comparing ourselves to the problem as if our personal resources or strength was going to be what resolves the issue. And God's saying, "I'm giving it to you. All you need to do is walk it out. It's yours. I'm there. I'm with you. We're going to succeed. But it's a matter of doing it. It's a matter of really believing him and walking it out with him and doing it." So these people, they were all freaked out. And they were not able to believe God and go for it. God got so angry. He said, "Why are you rejecting me?" He said this. And this is where we got to really focus for a moment. "Everybody from 20 years and older is going to die in the wilderness. That means the youngest one of them is only going to get to be 60 years old and they're going to die. They're going to live a shortened life because they wouldn't believe God." So let me just tell you a little recap story. So the chosen people of God were experiencing a famine. So God moved them into Egypt where Joseph was able to bless them and give them the best land. Do you remember that story? And so they had this best land and God was providing for them. But then an evil Pharaoh took over and saw that there was more of them than us. And said, "They can take us down if we don't do something. What if they want to overthrow us?" In other words, his heart was evil. So he thought they might have the same way of thinking. And so they enslaved them and made them their slaves to build the bricks and to do the work, right? 400 years, God said they were going to be servants in slavery. So what happened was generation after generation after generation had a slave mentality. They were no longer in their mind God's chosen people, the blessed people of God, the ones that God leaves and walks with and spends his time with day in and day out. They were now laborers that do not think for themselves, do what they're told, and try to make the best of it. That was the people that he brought out. So when he brought them out through the plagues of Egypt. You remember that part? And then he brought them through what kind of sea was it? The Red Sea. Let's use that as a type and shadow of the blood of Jesus. Shall we do that? So when they came out of the world or out of the devil's kingdom, out of Egypt, they went through the blood. They went through salvation of Jesus, right? They went through being born again. And now what happened was, they were able to see their enemies, their captives, the people that enslaved them, destroyed. And they were broken free from that. Are you with me? So in that now, they are in what's called the wilderness. It's just a short trip into the promised land. No big deal. 11 days, you can walk right across, get right into the promised land. So here they are in the wilderness. They see the waves crash back down, kill the Egyptians, and they're free now. But now, here's a new set of problems for these people. There's no provision like they're used to. The habits that they had, the comforts that they had, the way of getting their food, where they slept at night, all of that was in a tussle. All of that was different now. Nothing that they were used to is there anymore. It's an entirely new way of living. And it's hard for them. Very hard. But they're all together and God's with them, right? And they have Moses to help them. So 10 times through that wilderness, God was with them and he was delivering them and he was showing them that he's there. And in that, they had food from God, didn't they? They had water that followed them wherever they were going. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't even swell. How many of you would like that your feet never get swelled up? That'd be so nice if my feet never got swelled up. But their feet didn't even swell. What a blessing. And so what happened was when he took them into this promised land or get them to go, they were still thinking from the old way of life. See, so we're born again, but we have to do more than just say, oh, I'm born again. I accepted Jesus. God's my Lord and Savior. I'm going to heaven. We have to do something. We have to change our mentality from being a slave to being strong and courageous people that God is with us, backing us up everything we do. Are you with me? So we have to learn how to do that. So they took this time in the wilderness and everybody had to die. And God said this to them. Because you said out of your mouth that I was going to take advantage of your children and I was going to kill you, then because you said that out of your mouth, that's what you get. Everybody from 20 years and older is going to die, and the children that you said that I'm going to make them my victims of these giants, they're the ones that get to go in. And those children were raised and they had to bear the brunt of it, watching the generation ahead of them die. And those were the people that God took across the Jordan. The Jordan River. You guys familiar with the Jordan River? Jordan means descender. So we're going to call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they came out of the wilderness with the presence of God, with their minds renewed as to who they were, ready to fight the giants that were in the land, they moved through the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible says that the water of the Jordan, just like the Red Sea, backed up and they walked through on dry land. Do you know how far the water backed up to? The Bible says all the way back to a little city way upstream called Adam. So the Holy Spirit is going to override everything that came from Adam that's in you. We need to get this. That means he's going to completely renovate and give you an entirely new identity from himself. God says in 1 Corinthians that He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You guys heard that before? Okay, that means the Holy Spirit and your spirit are one spirit now. Amen? Can the Holy Spirit be joined to a toxic spirit? Can the Holy Spirit be joined to a blemished spirit? What kind of spirit does it have to be joined to the Holy Spirit, to be one spirit? Has to be a pure spirit, a righteous spirit, a holy spirit. And God made you that when you were born again and joined to the Lord. Guess what? So, there's still giants in the land. All the promises of God that he promised that I can walk in and you can walk in, we still got to fight our battles. We still got to fight our battles. So here it is. I have been given the Spirit of God in me. You have been given the Spirit of God in you. I have the Bible. You have the Bible. Now, do you believe what the Bible says? Or do you believe your senses? Which one is real for you? You know, I was looking up in my Being Made Whole book, and you guys that have it, you have this. And Jim wrote this in the Being Made Whole book. G.H. Pember says, this was a guy that was born in the 1800s, and he lived to like 1910. Okay, so he's an old guy. He said this about the spirit, soul, and body. This is what he said. He said, the spirit is God conscious. The soul is self-conscious, and the body is sense-conscious. Are you with me? So it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and that you may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just take the story of the Old Testament, and let's move it on to our born again, spirit filled, victorious, more than conqueror life. Shall we do that? So let's look at that. So if you're now born again and born of God, your spirit, soul, and body, what part of you got born again? Spirit. So now I'm going to give you a fun little example. I shared this with the Abba girls on Friday, but I'm going to mix it up a little bit and change it. So here's how it works. Because we're thinking about, okay, Jesus says that I'm one with him and I can do everything that he can do. But yet I still got all these cravings of my flesh and all these anxieties and worries and fears and all these problems in my life. How do I reconcile this? Think of it like a car. And this car has three passengers in it. It has the spirit man, we'll call that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. It has you, the soul, the personality, the I that I call me, and it has the flesh. And all three of them are in this car. And here's the rule. You get to go wherever majority rules. That's just the rule. You get to go wherever majority rules. You get to have whatever majority says. So it's a democracy. We get to vote. And whoever wins, wins. Amen? So we've got you, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your thoughts, your choosers, that's who you are, who you say you are. And now you, who are you going to pick to cast your vote with? Is it going to be the flesh? And the appetites of the flesh, that I'm flesh and blood, that this body is who I am, that I can't do any more than God's given me to do. This is it, the flesh or the spirit. I'm just like Jesus. Everything that God says is true. I'm seated in heavenly places. Everything the Bible says about me in the spirit is my life. You get to choose which one is driving. And here's where we run into our problems. Do we drive everywhere that God says to go? How many are perfectly led by the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. I want to have lunch with you today and figure out your secrets. Nobody perfectly, okay? How many of you find yourself following the flesh from time to time? How many find yourself maybe led by the flesh, driven by the flesh? Me too, sometimes. But how about led or driven by the Holy Spirit? Some, a little less, but sometimes, right? So go with me to Romans chapter 12. So if we look back at our example of the Old Testament, what had to happen before God was willing to take them into the promised land so that they could actually fight their giants? What had to happen? The old people had to die that had a slave mentality, and the young people, 19 years old, who were now 39 years old, they had a life that everything they knew, God was right in the middle of it. Every day, they saw the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire. Every day. Every day, they ate food that God laid on the ground for them. Every day, they saw the rock following them, giving them water in the wilderness. Every day, God was with them. Every day. They saw God coming on the tent of meetings and Joshua and Moses meeting with God. Every day. They were raised in the presence of God. Do you hear me? Those are the people that were ready to take the giants out of the land. But they had to be people that only followed the instructions of God and didn't do it on their own. So, in this battle of walking after the flesh or being led by the Spirit, we have to decide, are we going to let God lead us, or are we going to try to do it on our own? That takes being in the presence of God and getting used to Him talking to you, showing you, leading you. Are you with me? So looking in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is the least you can do. The least you can do is not give in to your flesh and just withhold it from doing what it wants. This is the least thing you can do. Is just get authority over your flesh and consider it dead. Make it a living sacrifice. It still gets to eat. It still gets to sleep. It still gets to walk around. But it's dead. It is not in charge anymore. That's the least you can do. Verse 2. And do not be conformed, that's molded and shaped, by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? Renewing your mind. Exactly. So what do you renew your mind to? The Word of God and the Lord Himself. You renew your mind that you are no longer the slave, you're no longer the victim, you're no longer the addict, you're no longer what you used to be. You have to renew your mind, because I'll tell you what, it doesn't happen in 1 second. It takes a long time. Do you know the Bible says that we have to work out our own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Don't you wish it was just a one and done? It's not. It's a process, man. The flesh, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that sin is condemned where? In the flesh. This is never going to please God. The Bible says that this flesh is at war with God, the Spirit of God. So in your little car, you got 3 and majority rules. Guess what? The other 2 guys that are in the car with you are always at each other's throat. They hate each other. And they're always vying for your attention. They're always trying to get you to agree with them. The Spirit of God wants you to go with it and go its way. But the flesh, it doesn't want to give up its rights. It doesn't want to be told what to do. It does not want anybody ruling over it. It wants to do what it wants to do. Doesn't it? And boy, I tell you what, sometimes just through sheer domination and power, that flesh runs us away. And it has its way with us. Go with me to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, I always have to do my little acronym, you know. It's Go Eat Popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I don't know why I have to always do that, but I do. Go eat popcorn. So in Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 16, I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? I wish it was. How many ever battled alcohol? How many ever battled drugs? How many ever battled sexual addiction? How many ever battled gambling? How about everybody ever battle fear and anxiety? They don't go away just because you say, oh, be gone. They don't do that. It's a battle. It's a war. The Bible says we wrestle and we fight, but not with the flesh and blood, with the principalities and the powers, with those invisible forces that work on our mind and our feelings. It's a struggle. But God made us more than conquerors. You know, he really did. The Bible says that in, I'm going to go here and we're going to read this some more in Galatians. But it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, I love Quintus. He disarmed principalities and powers, making an open show of them. Isn't that nice? It's great. So the devil's been defeated, right? Great. Then how come he takes us out sometimes? How come he gets advantage of us sometimes? Because it's not him, she says. Because we give place to him, she says. I think maybe we haven't really decided we are going to get our promised land. I am gonna get what God promised me. And if I'm not set that I'm gonna fight whatever battle I gotta fight to get my house that I didn't have to build, to get my vineyard where the grapes are as big as cantaloupes, to get my aqueduct so I have fresh water always flowing, to get my milk and my honey. If I am not set that I am gonna get what God promised me, I may from time to time be tempted by the devil and he takes advantage of me. See, he's a liar, but it's a really terrible thing to actually give him this credit. He has a plan and he never deviates from his plan. He's committed, he's focused, he's intentional that he is going to lie, steal, and destroy your life if he can. He's going to try. But like Pastor Trey says, he can't just pick you off. He doesn't have that authority. But he can sure kind of move you around a little bit to try to get you to forget who you are and let those feelings kind of rise up a little bit until he starts getting you further and further away. And the next thing you know, you're off participating in things you shouldn't have been participating in. If you are not set that I will walk in my promised land, that I will have what God promised to me, it makes it a lot easier for the devil. Do you hear me? What is your promised land? What is it you're believing God for? What is the life for you to live? Some of us don't even know what to pick or choose when we're asked that question. Some of us had such broken lives, and it's been so difficult, and we've fallen short so many times, and we never even saw a great life modeled to us. It's really hard to believe that God wants to give me something that nobody in my family's ever had. But he has. But you got to get in the Word to find out that he supersedes your natural life. Others of you had a beautiful family, have beautiful parents, had a great life, had all the comforts that you ever wanted. But do you know what? Just the opposite thing could possibly affect you. Pride, arrogance, ego, entitlement. All these things could be your nemesis on the other side, where you think you're all that and a bag of chips. You might have that battle to fight. It all depends on where you are in the scheme of things. Now, we have been designed to have a blessed life. Say, I have been designed to have a blessed life. But it's up to me to walk it out. It's up to me to walk it out. How many of you, go ahead by a show of hands, have walked out a real good portion of your blessed life? Look at that, at least half the people in the room. How many of y'all still got more in front of you than is behind you? Amen, amen. Some of us, we still got some ground to make up, you know, we do. But he said he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. So now, let me ask you, who do you say you are? Don't answer me. Think about this. What is your promised land? And in you, as your mind is being renewed, or has it been renewed, what is the image you have of who you are? Because each one of us is going to decide, are we able to take the giants out that stand in front of us? We, with the Lord, are we able to accomplish this? Can we actually complete this task of living in my promised land? Some people are not going to fight. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it honestly. You are not going to expend the energy that it takes to renew your mind and to see yourself the way God sees you. And so what will happen is you'll spend your days on the earth and you'll live a so-so life until your body fails, and then you get to go be with heaven. Go be with heaven. Go be with the Lord in heaven. Amen. That's where some people are going to be. But do you know what? He wants us to live our best life with him while we're on the earth. You know why? Because he loves us. She says, yeah, but there's even more to it than that. Because of this, it shows future generations how good God is. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to walk in the anointing. He wants you to have natural things. He wants you to prosper in every area, spirit, soul, and body. He wants you to be in health, even as your soul prospers. That means even as your identity of who you say you are starts prospering and believing God, starts believing in the goodness of God. Because he said to them, whatever you say out of your mouth is what you get. Life and death come out of here, you guys. He says in the Gospels that by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And you know, when I read that the first time, I'm going, Oh, Lord, I'm going to be so condemned when I get in front of you. Oh, I have spoken so many bad things. Oh, I've lied so many times. Oh, Lord. And he says, read it again. I said, by my words, I shall be justified. By my words, I shall be condemned. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I have spoken all these words years and years and years. He says, read it again. By my words, I will be justified. From this moment forward, I can start speaking faith. From this moment forward, I can start saying the same things God says. From this moment forward, I can direct the course of my life by understanding that it's by my own words. God says that his word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes that for which he sent it. So by the sheer fact that you and him are one spirit, that when you speak, your words are spirit, and they accomplish what you say. So what do you say? Not out of your brain as some structured thing, I'm going to magpie, from your heart. What do you say? What's your truth? There's nobody else in the room but you. What is your truth of what you say, who you are? Are you willing to do what it takes to live in your promised land? It's on you. It's as simple as that. Amen, Pastor Robert. How exciting is this word? Amen. Yeah. I know I make you think, you guys. I really make you think. I make you really pay attention, because it's easy to say the devil made me do it. It's easy to say that I'm righteous, I'm holy, by the Spirit of God, I'm made in the image of God. It's easy to say both of those things. But you know what? What does your life day by day say you believe? Day by day, what does your life show? Are you in fellowship with the Lord and in the Holy Spirit, and together you two are walking this thing out? I want to take you to another scripture, since I've only got a couple minutes left. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. How fun is this? This is really fun. You know, I got to tell you, I'm a big proponent of speaking all the things that grace has provided for me. I really love saying what God says. I really love acknowledging who I am in the Spirit. I really love that. And I give you testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness. But I also fall short in areas, and the devil trips me up, and I have had a lack in preparing how to fight him in those areas. I haven't had a strategy, a plan by the Holy Spirit to fight him, and so guess what? Because I'm doing all these other things and I'm making progress in this area, but he keeps tripping me up over here, it keeps taking me back, and I honestly will confess before you, I have not had a strategy in a couple areas of my life on how to walk it out, how to actually overcome in these areas, because they weren't those biggies, you know, they weren't the real big things. I got a handle on the big things now. The way my life is flowing right now, I got a handle on it. Anybody can be tempted with anything and fail given enough pressure in the right circumstance. So be careful when you stand, lest you fall. Amen? Pride goes before a fall, thinking you're all that in a bag of chips, and the devil can take you out, blindside you, man, just T-bone you in an intersection and just take you. And so always we stay vigilant and sober-minded, walking out the plan and purpose of God for our lives. Where did I tell you to go? Go eat popcorn. Colossians chapter 3 then. I'm going to read verse 1 through 11. Let's take a look at this. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. He's serious about that. He is actually serious about that. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what? Put to death your members? You mean like kill them in the wilderness? Is that what he really means? That we need to put to death your members which are on the earth? Fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I'll add to that gambling, fornication, drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, fear, whatever it is. Put it to lying, pride, hypocrisy, pretending you're one thing and you're not. I'll tell you, the body of Christ has an epidemic of wanting people to believe you're more spiritual than you actually are. And we just need you to be real so I can be real too. I just need you to walk it out truthfully so I can walk it out truthfully. Because I'll tell you what, nobody's got the corner market on following Jesus perfectly. None of us. We're all working it out. And when we can have compassion for one another, that we all are weak and we all are strong and we're different at different times, then guess what? We can actually have compassion for each other and be there for one another. Verse 6, because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Stop. We're going to read 10 in a second. So in other words, he's serious. We have to have a plan on how to walk this new life out to really kill off these other things that are in us. To really, they're our enemies. They're the old man trying to trap us in our physical bodies, as that's just, I'm just merely human. But if we will actually believe God and put these things to death and not give in to them and get our minds renewed to who we are, they will relent. They will let go. They will go into the background. They will become quieter. Will they go away completely forever? Probably not. But they will have such a less impacting voice in our lives that we can easily resist them after we've choked them out. Are you with me? You can do this. Because I'll tell you, I walk into a lot of Christians who maybe they've dealt with the addiction issues or the sexual bondages or the lying and really misleading people. Maybe they've dealt with those ones. But these other ones, anxiety, fear, inferiority, arrogance, pride, self-sufficiency, they haven't quite gotten over those ones yet. But all of them count. All of them count. Are you with me? Verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's the image of God. We put on Jesus Christ, the new man, who is just like Jesus. Are you with me? So we get to live this wonderful life on the earth, and we get to decide, is it me and the Holy Spirit going to walk this out, and we starve off the flesh? And I don't mean kill your body. I mean kill its passions and lust and its right to lead you into sin and death. Or do I, that God stuff, and I connect with my physical body and it's the passions and the lusts and all the other things. I get to fight that battle. So I have been given the authority by God to rule in this arena. I've been given that authority by God. He says that you and I, in Romans chapter 6, are no longer a slave to sin. It's been broken. Jesus died. I know you guys got to go, and I could probably keep you longer. Can I have one more minute? Is that all right? If you have to leave, go ahead. I won't be bummed. So in 1 minute, I want to say this. Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, see, he had to walk it out just like you did. He had a flesh and blood body, and sin dwelt in the flesh in his just as much as yours, right? So he had to fight the devil. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, we live by what God says. That's what gives us our life. God gives us our life by being in fellowship with him. He overcame the devil. And by doing that, he died on the cross, which took the devil's legal right to enslave you away. And then he moved us from being captive into his captivity, which he moved you into the spirit realm. That's why it says that he conveyed us or moved us into the heavenlies, into the throne of God. In the spirit, he's moved you over there. But now we have to be like the Israelites and renew our minds that we're going to live in the promised land now. So everything that was me before he did that's got to be eroded out of me. It's got to be denied and given up. Are you with me? And when you do that, you start living in this powerful, peaceful, blessed, favored way of life. And it's the Holy Spirit in you that sanctifies you. Amen? I love you guys. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. I know I went a little long, but pastor's out of town. Amen. You guys all right? Did you get something good out of today? Good. Good. You have the authority to win if you're willing to exercise it every single day. Amen. And eventually, you will be walking in your best life ever. But each one of us have to decide we want to live in our promised land. Amen. Father, I just thank you for the people that came here today, Lord Jesus, and that can hear the sound of my voice. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for sharing all that you've shared with us today, Lord. Father, we're all working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are all believing you that we're more than conquerors, that we're victorious, that sin is no more power over us, Lord. But Father, the weight of this world wants to try to subtly just come on in and take a hold of us. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will put a giddy up in the steps of everybody that can hear my voice, that we will fashion ourselves. We will set ourselves. We will walk in the armor of God so that we can stand. And when we've done all to stand, we can continue to stand that we really are who you said we are. We're really who you made us to be. That temptation and the arrows of the devil and all the things of this world do not take us out and take us down anymore, Lord. But that we walk in the victory that you provided for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll have prayer ministers up here if you need prayer for anything. Other than that, have a blessed week.